speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
The next question for our consideration tonight is coming from the context, primarily, as it is presented anyway, from Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, in regard to receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says, please explain Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 and receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. What does the passage teach? If you go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, it says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. Let's think about the immediate context. Who is the first you, as well as the second you, as he gives the promise? He says, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for this promise is to you. Who's under consideration there? The first century converts. Those specifically at Pentecost that would obey the gospel and then therefore be able to be recipients of the Holy Spirit in a very direct manner through the laying on of the apostles' hands. But then in like figure, we will come to a consideration of what I believe the gift is versus what some purport as to the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Then in like figure in this context, he says, for this promise is to you and to your children. That would be second generation Christians, would it not, in that context? But then thirdly, he says that this promise is not only unto you, unto first century converts or first generation converts and second generation converts, and to your children, but also unto those who are afar off. Who are those who are afar off? If you go in this immediate context, as well as in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and following, I believe that he's speaking with reference to the Gentiles. The Gentiles at that given time were those who were afar off. And the promise then would be unto those of the Gentiles who become New Testament Christians. But then also note what he says. Not only is this promise to you and to your children and to those who are far off, but also as many as the Lord our God will call. This would include all New Testament Christians. This would also then include you and me. So if he is saying that we are to be recipients of the Holy Spirit, then you and I are blessed with an indwelling of the Holy Spirit. However, if he is stating something other than that, then this is what we are recipients of. I want us to think about the broader context of that will help us to connect the dots, I believe. According to what we find in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We understand concerning the consequence of sin, according to what we find in the New Testament in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, is that we are separated from God whenever we do sin. For the wages of sin is death. And I believe that that death is a separation from God, and unless we have that separation taken care of in our obedience to Christ in baptism and continued walk with God faithfully in life, is that we will not only be separated from God in the here and now, but also we will be eternally separated from God. But aren't we blessed and grateful for the fact that we are brought nigh through the blood of Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, conjoined with our obedience to Christ in baptism. Note what he says, though, in the latter part of Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But the gift of God is eternal life. The gift here is that which someone gives to another. The gift, according to what we find also in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, from the Greek language is dora. That term means a gift. It also implies a free gift, and it carries with it the significance of being recipients of benefits. So therefore, it does not necessarily mean is that people receive the Holy Spirit, but rather because of what the Holy Spirit has to offer, they are able to be benefited in their lives. What were, they promised, the gift, not the Holy Spirit. I did a study, research in regard to being recipients of the Holy Spirit. And some 65 times the word received as it is connected with the Holy Spirit is employed in the New Testament Scripture. The Greek term there is lambano. And it literally means to take up or to take upon. And as the Holy Spirit was promised unto the apostles, they were going to be recipients of the Holy Spirit. Nothing in that context would suggest is that they were going to be given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit meaning or being the gift. Also, according to what we would find in regard to the context of that same school of thought, lambano, take up or to take upon, those who were receiving the Holy Spirit through the laying on of the apostles' hands were literally recipients of the Holy Spirit. And friends, I contend, according to what we find and connect in Scripture, is that the gift of the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit Himself, but rather the gift that the Holy Spirit gives as a person of the Godhead and the role by which He played in the first century in the giving of God's inspired message to mankind. We are able to have our sins forgiven through faith. And how do we acquire a saving faith? According to what we find in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is responsible for the conveyance of God's message as He worked in and through holy men of God. The Scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 19 and verse 20, these men spoke as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit gives us the Word that teaches us about sin, also directs us in regard to salvation in Christ, and hence whenever we obey Christ in baptism, it is as if the Holy Spirit is giving us the gift of salvation. Hence, there's no indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And somebody will say, well, now wait a second, Kevin, weren't there indwellings of the Holy Spirit in the first century? Yes, there were. Jesus, as we've been talking about on Sunday mornings, received the Holy Spirit directly, literally, and the Holy Spirit worked in and through Him in a very direct manner without any limitations. Also, the apostles received a literal, direct outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon them. And they received that lambano to take upon within them, even, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit worked through those individuals. And even first century Christians received the Holy Spirit in some literal manner. How? Through the laying on of the apostles' hands. It's imperative also for us to understand is that those who say that they received the Holy Spirit, oftentimes, more times than not in fact, say that they received the Holy Spirit at baptism. In fact, in the denominational world, it is presented that one is baptized of the Holy Spirit, and that serves as a signification of their salvation. Some within the Lord's church who believe in a literal indwelling of the Holy Spirit also say that they receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, is that He is the gift to Christians in baptism. Friends, I suggest, according to what I have studied in Scripture, and I've encouraged also you to study to that same level or degree in depth, that is, in Scripture, so that you can draw the conclusions as they are given in Scripture. But from what I find is that nowhere did someone receive the Holy Spirit in baptism, but rather through the laying on of the apostles' hands from the first century Christians' perspective or point of view. So, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, I would conclude, is the gift of eternal life.